Hello and welcome to Nearly Sacred, Episode 1, a podcast dedicated to all those things mystical, spiritual, or at least nearly so. I'm Jobo Sertzinger along with...
I'm Melissa Sims.
Our sponsors are Alchemy, our own little metaphysical store located in the heart of Princeton, Kentucky. Our segments today include news, the goddess, where she went and why, goodbye and fuck off, and questions from viewers. So, to start this segment today, we'll start with news. I see a note here, program-wise, that the world is exploding, the end. So that sounds optimistic.
Yeah.
And probably true. So I'm going to go over to my co-host, Melissa. Hey, so Melissa, what did you discover about on the news that you thought was interesting?
Well, there's supposedly a portal that opened up over CERN.
Yes.
December 7th.
Yes, so that would have been in the sign of what?
Sagittarius. Now, here's the question. Is it real?
Well, even if it's fiction, it can't be totally made up, right?
Right. So it's there for a reason, right?
Well, even if it's a fiction, it's there for a reason.
Even if the what?
Even if it's a fiction, it's there for a reason, because you can't make up something that isn't on
So December 7th was what? We all know. You should know that date.
I don't recognize it.
What? Pearl Harbor?
Oh, yes. I do recognize it.
And it showed a orb of light rising up into it as it was sucking in clouds and stuff.
I had that happen one time when I was in bed with this chick.
What? Orb I don't want to hear about that. Or up. Sucking toes or anything else.
Okay, well, just wanted you to know. Let's think about what I saw in the news. Did I see anything?
Natalie Cole's dead.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. She was a very talented lady.
Why'd she die today, Joe Bell?
Because of Capricorn, no doubt. And also, she's a singer, so it's the vocal side of the equation, which explains why we had a lot of audio trouble in part. Throat chakra seemed to be a little bit off. Anyway, that's a sad thing, but all things must end, along with Natalie Cole. So, her dad was Nat King, wasn't he?
Yep.
I was thinking so. He was also very talented. Did you know that they dissected his throat when he died?
Nuh-uh. Yes, why?
Because they wanted to see why he sounded so good.
All right, so he sounded good, but to me, he wasn't the best I ever heard.
I like Nat King Cole pretty well. I think that he's probably right on up there.
Did they find anything?
No, they just found a black man's inside of his throat, basically. So
I don't think you're supposed to say things like that.
What, the black man inside of his throat?
Okay, so also they found that the DNA of ancient occupants of Ireland has given researchers breakthrough clue into the history of the Celtic population. So they basically are saying they came from... I have to watch using the word basically. I use that a lot. I can't overuse certain words, otherwise it sounds stupid. they originated in the Middle East and Eastern Europe.
Yeah, I believe I saw a little bit of that article. What culture are they saying that it relates to exactly? The
Celtics.
The Celtics, but that's a very broad. What Celtics, like the Picts or the... Who are we talking?
Well, it said the Stone Age settlers with the origins of the Fertile Crescent and the Bronze Age economic migrants who began a journey somewhere in Eastern Europe. And this comes from The Guardian. So they found the bones of this 5,000-year-old woman in Belfast and three men who lived between 3,000 and 4,000 years ago. They have a remake of a lady of the bones, and she looks... pretty Irish.
How can you tell from the nature of her bones how she looked? Are you a racist?
No, but you can see for yourself. She looks Irish, Eastern.
That doesn't look like a bone. That looks like a clay modeling.
That's what I'm saying. They did a reconstruction of the bones.
Well, yes, that would have been helpful to know. Clay modeling would have been a better choice for that.
But right, reconstructionists.
Yes, because the bones didn't really tell me that story all the way.
She would have had black hair and brown eyes.
They said that as well?
Yes.
I don't know why they think that.
Maybe her DNA.
Possibly, or maybe they just pulled it out of their rear ends.
I think probably in the DNA.
Or also the rear ends.
If she was from the Middle East, how do they know that?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say. basically, if you start going into the world tree of humanity, you wind up at the same place, which is to say that everyone pretty much comes from the same ancestor at some point or another. So basically, we're all one big incestuous family.
It's hot.
Well, that's what they're doing in the Bible. It's like, he's
even the gods did it.
Yeah, the gods had a little more leverage with regards to that. Unfortunately, you start doing it too much to people, you start having babies with flippers.
Well, that's what happened to the gods, too. Right? You got Pan. And you've got mermaids.
Usually that was like a punishment for something you shouldn't have done. Like, Pan, usually it's like a rape or somebody gets ticked off at somebody else or something, and then you wind up with a Pan.
Oh. So is that to say that there's DNA, spiritual DNA? That's kind of an interesting thought. Like, if we interbreed too much, we end up with weird stuff, right? So is that why there's weird gods? Could there actually be... As above, so below, would that mean that there's a spiritual DNA that these gods are, what I don't understand is why would gods be having sex with each other?
Well, they're having sex for the purposes of our finite, mortal understanding of things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they were literally, like, getting it on to Barry White or something. Like, to them, it's more energies, like, recombining and whatnot. And so, the question is, what is our own DNA? And our own DNA is essentially just like a microcosm of whatever the gods have. So, if you want to get fancy with it, then, yeah, pure light is really what you're dealing with, and so the DNA itself is pure light.
Wouldn't it be rays of light? Is that what the DNA would be, the rays of light?
Well, I mean, it could be. It could be any number of things, but it's going to be a crystalline structure that's a miniature of the universe. I mean, the way that the orbit of the sun and the planets go around it, it's going to be kind of that, but it'll be on a miniature platform in a holographic light sort of way. But in the end, you know, when they talk about the light body and all that fun stuff and all the mystical circles, well, there's a strong correlation between that phosphorus, Lucifer, and the light body.
Ew.
That's right. So you go get your Lucifer on.
Lucifer, I thought he was the devil.
A lot of people think that that has been one of those little facts of history that have been hidden because the world doesn't really want you to know what you actually are.
Right. So we can just talk about that in a later episode.
That's true.
It's pretty in depth.
We can cast some light on that Luciferian wise.
Congress forces IRS to use private bill collectors. Why would that be if it's a government agency?
Well, probably because they want to do something that government is prohibited from doing, whereas private industry is not.
Actually, if you want to know the truth from my understanding of what I've heard, I've not studied this myself, but I have heard that the IRS is actually not a federal government agency, that it actually is a private company.
Yeah.
They are kind of the bill collectors, the arm... A private bill collector for the government.
I'll tell you who else is a bill collector, and that's the people that picked up Bill Cosby the other day. They're bill collectors.
Oh, these are really bad jokes. Well, I hope that doesn't continue. Huh?
Well, whatever has to happen has to happen. But yeah, I would say that anytime you see the government make a maneuver to go to the private world, usually they're trying to escape accountability at the governmental level, even though they don't really have that much transparency to start with. So... odds are somebody's starting to get into a situation where they want to implement something that a private company can get away with, whereas a government agency might get in trouble. So, for instance, there are government privacy laws, correct?
Supposed to be.
Effectively. But a private corporation, even though they're supposed to follow it, they can get by with, you know, not doing that and not getting caught as readily. Of course, they could just be doing it because they have our best interest in mind.
Right. I agree with that.
They probably want us to join hands and sing Kumbaya, and they want to give us... Actually, have you ever looked at the amount of money that's in a year expenditure of military budget? Beard looked at
it's
the number.
It's pretty massive.
Basically,
it actually exceeds everything, every other budget, doesn't it?
Yes, basically, I calculated out one time just for the fun of it that it wound up being like that for that particular year about 20...
For the fun of it?
Yeah, for the
fun of it. Like, hey, this is going to be fun.
Well, I like to put things in perspective, and so it put things in perspective for me in an abysmal sort of way that made me want to jump off a bridge.
That's every day.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's life. Life is just deciding not to kill yourself one more day longer. But, no, I calculated it out, and it was about $20,000 per household or so that we could have given to every person in America.
Wow.
If we hadn't been spending it on military crap.
But, Joe Bill.
Yes.
We don't have military. We don't have an America.
Yeah, that's interesting. You remember the book of Judges in the Bible?
Yeah.
You know how in the book of Judges they had, well, judges?
Yeah.
You notice how when they had those judges that...
Deborah was one.
They didn't. Yes, she was.
And
she,
her name means honeybee, by
yes,
the way.
I knew Deborah, actually. Anyway, it also means servant of something or another. Anyway, so you had these judges and they were loosely confederated and there was no centralized authority unless... there was a threat. And if the threat arose, then the centralized authority would start to respond to that threat. Otherwise, they didn't even really need a king because everybody did what they were supposed to do. So they had judges mm-hmm. interpret the law, and that was about it. Or to rally moral support.
So the priests weren't the interpreters of the law then. It was the judges.
Well, I mean, they kind of were because a lot of them were sort of prophets like Samuel. But a lot of them were not. Like, there was one, at least, that rose to his position by treachery, they recorded.
Yeah.
So I think that just goes to show that people don't have to have a government, but...
we're supposed to be self-rule, the ability to self-rule. For instance, let's say that this should be happening in China. I'm not quite sure why it is, but... self-rule is supposed to be in the sense that... if there's a bad, let's say there's somebody's making cereal that has lead in it, then it's up to the consumers to say, we want to know what's in the cereal.
I would just say there's a little Saturn in there.
We want to know why you have lead in it, and then we choose not to buy it. So you basically self-rule with your money.
Well, I think that that's the idea behind capitalism, but really... the first step you should examine in that chain of events is someone putting lead in cereal. Because, really, that's the first thing that should not be happening.
Right. But, I mean, you shouldn't have to have a government agency to tell you, don't put lead in cereal.
You do if you've got a nation of greed and non-accountability.
Well, that's the problem, is the consumers are just too stupid, honestly. They buy things and they don't even ask why. It's why they eat McDonald's. It's why they eat crap that they've they smoke cigarettes with, you know, all these carcinogenics in it.
I don't know if it's a matter of stupid as much as it is convenience. Yes, I think that most people, given the path of least resistance, are going to pursue it.
I'm not judging, by the way.
With a heartbeat.
I've done those things. I've smoked cigarettes and ate McDonald's.
You're going to go to hell for that, just so you know. Like special McDonald's cigarette hell.
I might have done it last night.
I read about this fellow one time who, I believe you saw this as well, where he had this near-death experience with this weird centaur thing, and he got to see like a halfway house where these people had done drugs and killed themselves, basically.
On drugs?
Yeah, like it was a halfway house, and one of his friends was there, and he was not real happy to be there.
Hmm.
And actually, there's some truth to, like, ghosts and stuff like that. Pretty often they talk about how some of them miss, like, food or smoking, so they hang out.
Well, I've heard stories about smelling smoke or cigar smoke and things or alcohol from people who have passed on. Why would that be? I mean, can they still do it on the other side, or are they just... why do people smell those things?
Dabukik. Dabukik, why? Why?
Dabukik.
Dabukik. Jewish ghost emo. No.
I want some matzo balls.
Matzo balls. Dabukik. They do it because their vibration isn't very high, so they still do what they did while they were alive. And so...
so they can drink? And smoke?
Well, they can still smell like it. I mean, they're not really... those habits, after a while, become part of you. It's not like you're independent of the cigarette. You are the cigarette.
Dang.
Same thing with the...
so if you choose to smoke, you should smoke. Not that I'm picking any brands.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're going to...
Native American cigarettes.
Yeah, something more wholesome would be good, but you have to remember that you're still going to become what you do, so you have to be very careful what you choose to put in your mouth. Let that be a lesson to your daughters, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're going out into our next segment. We're going to take a little break for our sponsors. Alchemy is a small metaphysical store in Princeton, Kentucky that sells essential oils, tarot, astrology, reflexology, stones, and most any metaphysical item that you might need. The knowledgeable staff, that's us.
Us.
Have a combined 50 years of experience in the metaphysical domains. If you need guidance or are interested in shamanic journeying or want to learn more about yourself through a spiritual lens, come on down and see us today. All transformation requires
alchemy.
And we're back for our next segment, the next exciting installment called Where Did the Goddess Go, and Why Is She Gone? Well, the first question that begs is she gone? So what do you think? Is she gone, Melissa?
Sort of, but she's making a comeback.
She's making a comeback, huh? How so?
Well, there seems to be, starting with the women's rights movement, an equal and uprising movement of the goddess.
I've always had a little bit of trouble with the women's right movement in the sense that equality is not necessarily across-the-board equality.
Are you going to go here?
Yes.
O-M-G.
This is where I am, so yes.
All right. You're going to get a lot of mad chicks.
Okay.
All right. Well, all right, so tell us your view.
My view is simply this. It's equality in theory, but not necessarily in application.
And why?
Because there are differences inherent between men and women.
This is true.
And those differences have to be respected and balanced in proportion.
Would you like to list those differences? Or should we just assume that the listener knows?
I don't really want an exhaustive list, but I think...
Give a few.
I think a pretty good one would be if you have a woman who is, say, pregnant, and you need very heavy boxes lifted... She cannot be equal to a man who is not pregnant in that particular moment, and that equality applied in that situation would be totally ironically psychotic.
Okay.
So modern, this gets to the heart of the goddess for me. Modern equality theories, there's a tendency to try to equate everything with everything else so that men and women, even the gender, no longer matters.
I agree. Except I have one question.
Yes.
on that first point.
Okay.
So say you have somebody who's handicapped that's a male, and he couldn't lift those boxes. Should he get more pay than a woman?
Well, I'm not really discussing. Not really discussing income per se. However, one could start to get into that discussion deeply and darkly. And I think that when it comes to matters such as equal opportunity and people getting paid more or less because they are in a wheelchair or not in a wheelchair, you're beating your microphone around profusely.
Yeah, it's loose.
So sorry. I think that when people start to get into that domain, you start making arbitrary value assessments. And I do believe that one thing that's hurt the earning potential of women is that they do have children. And so from the standpoint of an employer who cares about his business, usually he's going to go for someone who does not have children because those are a liability.
Okay, so you're saying that, for instance, let's say I get a job and I'm young and I have little kids at home.
Yes.
There's also a man who has children.
Right.
And he works.
Correct.
Out of those two possibilities, let's say your children get sick, most likely the mother will stay home, is what you're trying to say.
More than likely, yes.
But not always.
Not always, but usually.
So how does... Well, this gets into a whole ball of wax. I don't know that we want
to chase
that rabbit.
It does. Getting away from the goddess, sort of, kind of, but not exactly.
Okay, we'll tie the goddess in.
Well, the goddess has lost equality, spiritually speaking, and in fact she's been erased, at least in modern Christian traditions, or even Jewish traditions for that matter. It's like she's basically not there at all. It's like she's just been completely and utterly erased from history. Why?
Well, we have this discussion based on some studying that I was doing when we got to the book of Exodus. And since we're winging this, I don't have it in front of me, so this is very loosely done. But we were discussing the when Moses was raising the pole with the serpent, the brass serpent, or the brazen serpent.
Brazen serpent.
We came to a realization, and I can't remember why now. This is really driving me crazy, but how we came to this idea that it was actually an Asherah pole. Or Astarte or Ishtar.
It's because they used to take snakes and nail them to poles and wrap them around like barber stripes on them. And those were usually construed to be Asherah poles. So Jesus is sort of like a... You can think of him as a meat snake popsicle from the point of view of the Asherah poles.
What?
Well, it is a modified Asherah pole.
All right. So the Asherah pole was used, or this pole with the brazen pole, brazen serpent pole, was used to protect the children of Israel from the bites of these fiery serpents.
Mean snakes.
However, when I looked into the actual meaning of that, it was actually meaning seraphim, which are angels.
Fiery
so
ones.
We could see another correlation revelation where they talk about these sort of strange creatures that are biting people with their stingers. They have like scorpion tails, and people want to die because that must hurt like a son of a bitch, but like they can't.
I don't think that's biblical.
I'm sure they thought
it. I don't think they were like, oi, this hurts like a son of a bitch.
Fucking son of a bitch.
I don't think that's how that worked.
I think it did.
We're going to have to give this episode a rating, I have a feeling.
Anyway, I want to be able to be free and be myself, which means I might cuss, but anywho's. So anyway, then I decided, wow, you know, then we probably need an Asherah pole to protect us from these things that could be coming, if it's real. Spiritually, okay, so then the question begs... So, it's the true cross, what we created.
You got to be a little careful with that, because what was created, yes, was the true cross, but it was based on the Tav. And the Tav is a little different territory than an Asherah pole, although they're functionally sort of the same. Although the Tav has been around for a very, very, very long time.
Well, I believe that the cross that Yahoshua was nailed to, and we're not going to get
if he was.
Right, if he was. We'll get into that maybe another episode. But it would have been a Tav.
Yes.
It only makes sense. Because what does Tav mean in Hebrew?
it means tat. Like he had really cool tats.
What?
He had like really cool tats. Like he had,
no,
like
he had a lot of ink done. No, I don't think that's right.
No.
No.
I don't know then.
You don't know?
What does it mean?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
No.
I thought you knew.
Well, actually, I can tell you a lot about what it means in general, but I can't necessarily
maybe
tell you.
Maybe you should Google it. I will.
I can't necessarily tell you what it means in Hebrew per se.
I'm going to look it up.
Okay,
you do that. I cannot believe you don't know. Oh, my God. I found something Joe Bill doesn't know.
I feel like I'm being judged.
I'm not judging.
One moment. All right.
Brother.
The Tav makes an impression on the Ancient of Days. God's seal in creation is truth. That sounds pretty fancy. The design of the Tav is a Dalet and a Nun.
Oh, that's right.
Well, see, I know that. A Dalet is a door.
Yeah. So it's actually, it's created by two Hebrew letters.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are, but...
Which is probably why that particular object...
What's its numerical value?
One moment.
Because every Hebrew letter has a numerical value.
I'm getting all Kabbalah-y on it now.
I know.
This isn't necessarily about the goddess, you know.
It'll tie in, I'm sure.
Okay. One moment. Let me check here into the good old search engine of Google, who's probably spying on my remove.
Sound paranoid.
Tav is the last. So Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and Tav is the last. So it's going to be one of those hundreds, I suspect.
Aleph and Tav, like Tav Alpha and Omega?
400 is what it is. So
400.
So it's an element of Saturn
oh.
by the nature of the four.
Well, that would be Saturn if you're being nailed to it, right?
Well,
that's pretty hardcore discipline.
Certainly isn't going to
be BDSM gone wrong.
Probably not, or gone right, depending on your taste. But I don't think, I mean, you know, Mel Gibson made a pretty big deal out of it, and people seem to get very almost aroused by that particular movie, which I found
a little
bit
weird.
Disturbing.
It's uncomfortable.
It's not something that I think that I actually kind of
call that like
what
snuff porn.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's kind of how I felt about it. I felt it was essentially sort of disrespectful, and I haven't seen the movie to this day for that reason.
Although, we should watch it tonight.
I don't really don't care to watch that. So
Mary Magdalene's in it.
You just said it's it was.
Fine.
You just said it was snuff porn, so I assume that you were into snuff porn.
No,
Melissa. Regardless, I don't.
It's an experience you need to experience.
I don't think
people
it is.
Passed out at the theater.
Regardless, the, moving okay. Moving back to the goddess.
All right, goddess.
The TAF has to do a lot with. The feminine side, because the TAV is the lower part of a. Any guesses? Any takers?
The TAV is the lower part of what?
The lower part of a dot dot dot.
The lower part. No, I don't.
Of an ankh. It's the ankh without a head.
Oh, okay.
And actually, you'll see a lot of TAV-based shapes and Neolithic monuments from.
It looks like a T, is what you're saying.
Yes, but when you stick somebody on it, suddenly it has a head. And therefore looks like an ankh. Do you follow me?
Yes.
Before that point, there is no head. It's simply just a...
So you stick a human on it, and his head would have been the ankh part.
And it would have been Venus, to be exact.
Well, all right. Now this... Boy, I could really chase a rabbit here. I'll really, really chase a rabbit. Should I chase said rabbit?
You have approximately, I would say, 4 minutes to chase a rabbit if you choose to.
We're down to 4 minutes. Well, we're going to have another 15-minute.
Not on the goddess.
Yeah, after this.
I didn't see
it
that in the script.
Continues another 15 minutes.
All right, whatever. Continue. Go on.
So, all right. So I'm going to chase this thought. This, all right. So the brazen pole.
Serpent.
Moshe created.
Brazen serpent.
Brazen serpent pole, a Shiri thing. It was made from, not sure really, nobody really talks about what the Asherah poles were made from.
Date plum tree, we think.
Date plum tree.
Yes.
I know Avraham said, who is my oils guy, who lives in Israel and is hardcore Jew. I think he said he thought it was sycamore.
Or could be.
Oak? Sycamore. All right, so anyway, we also decided that the metal copper was used. The brazen serpent was actually made out of copper, which is Venus.
Copper is, again, Venus.
Okay, so now we're getting into this idea that I see a lot of feminine thing going on here.
Correct.
There's also this weird thing about Jesus being the bright and morning star. Right.
We don't talk about that. That's something no one likes to talk about.
Which is Venus. But it's been also related to Lucifer.
Correct.
All right. So then what is this feminine attribute being thrown around here? I kind of have this idea, you know, and Jesus was, you know, portrayed many times with long hair, very kind of feminine.
He's
very
hippie.
Thin. He wasn't really like a buff dude.
He's a dirty hippie, dirty, dirty hippie.
Right, so that's all very, very goddessy.
That's very Venusy. So if you go back far enough and you start getting into a lot of traditions, there's a whole lot of talk about virgins and sacrifices and virgin sacrifices and all kinds of other crazy stuff going on. But in the Jewish tradition, in the Old Testament, you don't really have a whole lot of that. You have sacrifices. But you don't really have necessarily
animals.
Virgin sacrifices. They're usually animals, things being thrown off the cliff.
First human sacrifice of a Jew was Yeshua or Jesus.
Well, there was that whole thing. There were some near misses there. And there were some foreskins requested at a couple of points, which I think
it's
people forget.
Sacrifice. Well, I mean,
it's a pretty big sacrifice.
It's a sacrifice, but not like
I'm pretty
death.
Sure if you interview many men that still had their foreskins, if it was suddenly demanded, they would see it as a sacrifice.
You don't remember it?
No, because I don't... I'm not going to go there.
Right? Ah!
I'm not going to start talking about that.
Okay.
You going to chase your rabbit?
That was it. I was asking for...
You've got 30 seconds more to chase your rabbit.
All right, well, I was asking you. I don't know these things, so I'm asking this connection that I'm picking up, this hardcore feminine goddessy connection.
We'll get back to that after the break.
All right.
Like, I'll pick that thread up then. Until then, there's still a little bit of time that we could talk about something that has to do with that. I thought the rabbit chasing was going to go on.
That is the rabbit I was chasing.
Yeah. Well, you know, the rabbit, sometimes he goes down the hole. Uh-oh. It's that time again. Time for our sponsors. Are you drawn to understanding what has been lost from the annals of our history? Why have we lost the knowledge of sacred sites? And just what were they doing? How can we? So do we, and we invite you to follow our podcast, Nearly Sacred, where we will journey to places that are sacred near you and topics that are sometimes nearly sacred. Nearly Sacred. And we're back from our sponsors. So I believe there was some rabbit chasing, sort of drunkenly, but there was rabbits being chased. And we were discussing Venus and how it relates to Jesus and why he looks all feminine, correct?
Yeah. And the Asherah pole. And, well, we, you know, technically, if I was going to do, I should get into the history of Asherah. So, because most people don't realize that Asherah was actually a Hebrew goddess, that the Israelites actually worshipped a Hebrew goddess prior to when Hezekiah came along and stamped it out.
I wonder why he did that.
Well, according to historians who are now getting more of the picture, because many things were stripped out of the Bible, being she's one of them, they know that the Israelites believed that Asherah was the consort of Yahweh. And at some point when Hezekiah came along, he basically said, it's all done. No more. We're taking her out. We're kicking the Shekinah. She was known as the Shekinah, which is a feminine attribute, or also known in Christian circles as the Holy Spirit, or the Ruach HaKodesh in Hebrew. And he did it while we were discussing this, and this was one of our, that's why this topic comes up, because people were actually worshiping, they had elevated her above Yahweh and were worshiping the idols themselves, the creation.
Right. Idol worship gets the Jews in trouble pretty often. Every time we turn around in the Old Testament, it seems like a Jew somewhere is making an idol somehow. And as soon as they think that they're done making idols, they whip one out from, like, behind some secret altar, and they start worshiping it, and everything goes to shit. And then they start getting all emo, and they start asking Yahweh to forgive them. That's usually how that works.
And he always does.
Well, sometimes, but sometimes he's like, you're going to go to Babylon first.
Well,
how about
he spanks
that?
Them.
You're going to head out to Babylon, and everybody's going to have, there's no Temple Mount for you. You've really royally screwed this up. Also, no state for you for a long time. So there's moments in there where there's some pretty goodly sized punishment for idol worship. But I think an important point to distinguish there is what idol worship is. It's worshiping something that's separate from the all. In other words, it breaks the unity because you see that thing as being realer than the unity of the whole thing, which is very easy to do with the divine feminine because it's in your face, whereas the masculine's a little harder to see.
How so?
Well, if I tell you that everything is in unity, everybody goes, oh, yes, love and light, I understand, but that's not really the right conception. Like, the right conception is that everything is unity. That means murdering, that means happiness, that means trees, that means frogs, that means tigers with bloody teeth, that means stars, that means planets exploding and stars that we haven't found.
Right.
It's all those things at once.
Right, because everything issued from the source.
Right.
Being.
And if we were sufficiently.
Praxis, yes, according to the Gnostics.
If we were sufficiently gifted, we could look within ourselves and maybe discover these things like a lot of the Indian yogis were reputed to have done before they were actually discovered outside in the galaxy in some way or another. So there are actually very detailed charts of people who have explored those connections astrologically.
All right, so Hezekiah basically said, no more Asherah for you, and kicked her out. and kicked her out of people's houses. And I, like I said, we were kind of doing this off the cuff. This is just our test run, but we would be more studied up. But so they stopped. And that's where you start seeing the patriarchal system being implemented and kind of running, mowing over any kind of goddessy societies.
Well, to be fair, Hezekiah did say on his seal that he visited that queen's houses or something along those lines they just found in Jerusalem, remember?
He said what?
They just found a seal the other day in Jerusalem that was amongst rubbish, and he'd said, here's my great seal that's evidence that I visited that great queen's houses or something along those lines, which means more or less he was very aware of the feminine tradition.
No, I didn't. I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's there. And so that comes back full circle to the rabbit you were chasing, so I want to discuss that because Revelation, let there be light. So the first installment of the Bible, we'll call the Old Testament, which was pretty heavily law-based at Saturn. So that would be
the Torah, or the Tanakh, the Torah, is what it's called.
Correct. That would be El in the Canaanite, or Yahweh in the
Hebrew.
However, what's missing? Well, Venus. Venus is missing. So you've got the Jews, they're killing everybody, they're stoning people, they're having a good time, people are committing adultery, they're like, screw you, here's a stone, die. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a gay old time in that era. But there is very little Venus until this whole Yeshua business comes along. So what must that make Yeshua? Well, if he's the morning star, that makes him Venus, and we were just discussing the cross and how his head's shaped on the Tav, it means that he's basically a stand-in sacrifice for the goddess. So what's happening is the goddess has sent someone.
So he was standing in for her.
For love.
The male
equivalent he was standing in for the goddess.
He took a blow for her.
Yes, that's what happens to the male side when the goddess is involved, typically speaking.
Oh, that's so much love.
Because it has to do with sacrifice.
So, I knew he was romantic.
Yes, but he also did it for all of humanity, or so it seems. If we believe the story that we're told, and one of these days we can get into whether or not that is in fact the
case. The Gnostic view. We'll get into the whole.
Yes, but the symbolism is correct. The symbolism is right. And how it was fulfilled is a matter of controversy, of course. But we do know that some sort of goddess is heavily indicated by the way that he was crucified, the cross. It's old to goddess way of viewing things. He's just fulfilling the male side of it.
I guess that was a missing piece that I needed, is that we didn't really discuss that he was a fill-in or a stand-in for the goddess. So
the male side.
Why did that need to happen? Why does there need to be any kind of, according to mythology, if he did stand in, if, okay, the Shura pole, the brazen serpent pole, it was to heal people.
The copper and the brazen serpent is invoking Venus on the earth, and that's not the only culture that used copper for that purpose. I mean, you see copper in ancient cultures all over the place. Like, they were big on gold, they were big on copper. They loved the fuck out of both of those things. So what happens from a magnetic point of view with copper is that it does some interesting things, and if you look at the body in the human field, it is magnetic predominantly. Mm-hmm. So if you've got some kind of astral critter coming through that you don't really want to deal with, it's going to be traveling on the magnetic spectrum in some way or another.
Mm, okay.
So what happens is when you wrap that copper around things like that, it creates a field such that those particular critters can't make it through as easily. That's not to say that other things can't. It's just to say that it creates a little bit of a field that augments the human field, which is what chapels and churches are supposed to do.
Cathedrals and right. Such. Well, all right, so that's an interesting thought. In my mind, what I'm thinking is that gold would probably stave off certain astral critters, and copper would stave off some sort of strange snaky thing, right?
Gold is usually going to be used as... they used it as a form of wealth, but I suspect they used it in some form of alchemy to produce some kind of interesting concoction that helped them live longer, if you want to know the truth. Whereas copper,
monatomic gold.
Right. Whereas copper, on the other hand, I think had to do with actually manipulating the field, the magnetic fields. Not to say that gold can't. I just don't think that's what they're using it for. Although there are some discussions in Egypt about bread or manna from heaven, which they also talk about in the Hebrew Bible as well. Which, you know, seems to maybe indicate that gold was somehow involved in the process. But basically, gold became precious because of that. I mean, it wasn't because it was rare to start with. It became precious because of the properties that it had that it could impart.
It's more masculine.
Well,
sun, right?
Yes, but it's also, if you get into alchemy, the work of the Philosopher's Stone, mm-hmm. most people believe it's just an internal alchemy at this point in history, but anything that's internal can, in theory, be external.
Right.
So if you can make something that externally would be the etheric equivalent of gold that you could then ingest, it should, in theory, activate your light body in some sort of very, very quick way.
That sounds actually very frightening.
I would imagine that it would be, because it would open up your psychic faculties very, very, very quickly. It would be the same as if you meditated for, you know, 20 years, 30 years. So, and it used to be a well-known thing, like how to do this thing, but it was lost over time. So, like the goddess, these technologies are lost because they're how to use the earth and the things that you find on it to achieve some spiritual end. And maybe the last civilization that we have any idea of, anyway, that kind of had some grasp on it was the Atlantean civilization. We have pretty good reason to believe that they started using it in ways they should not, which is why they got blown up.
Because, so like the pyramids.
Right.
Because didn't they top the pyramid, like the missing capstone was gold?
It was gold, or that's what we believe.
You've got on the Temple Mount also the Golden Dome, the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
It acts as a conductor and a magnifier for energies, especially in a pyramid like in Egypt. Not only that, there's a lot of research that was out there. I don't know, I haven't seen it lately, but if you put seeds in it, the seeds would grow or yield more because of the way that the magnetics were involved within the pyramid and also into the crops. So it's
interesting. It raises the frequency and the vibration, right. I would imagine.
More energy. So the more etheric energy that you have, the more that you can do something that makes a difference.
Higher frequency.
Right. So it makes sense for modern governments to try to get rid of the goddess, and it makes sense for the Jewish people way back when, like Hezekiah, to get rid of her. Because what's happening is that the goddess is a very, very, very fast gateway into paganism. Very, very, very fast. Mm-hmm. So with Asherah, there was a lot of... how shall we put it? Orgies. Many, many orgies. With men, women, men, ferrets, women, donkeys.
No.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't think so.
It was pretty crazy.
I don't think
so. Like, it was about pleasure.
Not with Asherah.
At one point, it became that way, because that's the reason why they kicked her out, or kicked it out. So
it's not her fault.
I didn't say that it was, but she took the blame for it. And actually, there were, if you read about it, there were prostitutes on the Temple Mount for quite a while, both male and female. They were the Kadesh, I think is what they called them.
Kadesh or Kadosh?
Kadosh, something
Kadosh
like that.
Kadosh is holy.
Yeah, it was something like holy prostitute or something like that. And they had their own little individual apartments, and, you know, you could pop in and be like, hey, what's up? I need some sexual healing. And they're like, here you go. Here's your sexual healing. And also, here's God. Now get out. So, you know, if you're going to take an enlightenment path, that sounds pretty good. I mean, it's a lot better than going to the Wailing Wall and sticking crap in it all day long.
I mean, actually did that.
Well, I know. I'm not
for a pregnant lady whose dad died.
Not that I'm saying the Wailing Wall sucks. I'm just saying.
It was, and it's not. And by the way, just for people, the record, most Jews do not like it referred to as the Wailing Wall because it's kind of like a whiny thing, right? they call it the Western Wall. It's the western part of the Temple Mount.
So are you trying to say that Jews are whining about...
No, No. I love Jews a lot, being that it's in my family lineage.
Okay, and just double checking somewhere to make sure that you're saying that Jews are not whining about whining. I want to be certain that I'm not hearing that right.
He'll joke about me whining, but...
Okay, just anyway. Double checking. So, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of different things that you could do to achieve enlightenment in a little faster time period, and maybe in some other episode we can talk about it, but...
Sex?
Sex was one of them, yes, and now that would be considered to be not a good thing, and usually it falls into debauchery, because once you've got a little taste of God, you want more God, and then more God, and then more
right.
God.
Right, I don't understand why these goddess cults have these prostitutes when people, I mean, I guess if you didn't have a wife or a husband...
Well, I mean, you have to be tantrically trained to do it right.
I see. So they were trained just for the specific purpose to bring people closer to God.
Yes. And many of them still roam
the earth. There's a song by Nine Inch Nails that reminds me of. Probably not the same, but...
Many of them still roam the earth today. Like, if they have previous lives in that, and they have interesting sexual histories. Yes. There's lots of people that...
Reincarnated people?
Most certainly, yes. And they have very large difficulties in relationships in specific.
What?
Because relationships in a modern format don't make any sense.
Oh, that's interesting.
But yeah, so
how would you recognize a person that was carrying that energy today? Or should we probably shouldn't tell people?
Yeah,
that could probably be a bad thing.
It would be a
shouldn't broadcast
it,
that.
It would open up one to abuse, especially if you know they.
So one trait would be they're probably abused in some form.
Well, they're used to giving. They're used to giving. They're used to merging, so that makes it way more likely that not so good things are going to happen because people still want to find God. They just don't really believe in it anymore.
They don't realize that's what they're trying to do.
Right.
Obviously, it's the unity of male and female together create a hermaphrodite, which would get into the Baphomet Gnostic thing.
Well, yes, although you're not really supposed to get off to make that happen. There's supposed to just be a retaining of fluids, although I doubt most men would be capable of that, and some women probably not.
So well, you just let the energy flow.
Yeah, let it flow, and it makes your toroid feel. We're at 45. We got to go and take a break.
Man, that goes by fast.
Do you have munchkins under your bed? Do you have goblins in your cupboard? You might need a professional wizard. I don't know where you can find one, but I know that's probably what you need. Professional wizards these days are not really certified, so you might want to get some peer reviews on the wizard of your choice before you pay for his services. However, if you feel so inclined to contact a wizard, please contact us and let us know. We will help you in your hour of need.
I think we need the phone number 270-564-7771.
That's right. And we're back. So we're going to do a little surprise segment that I didn't announce because I like to be full of surprises and keep you on your toes, especially if you're listening on an iPod and you're in your car. We are going to ask you for questions so that if there's any...
Or any kind of feedback.
Or any kind of feedback that you think is relevant for our show. If you think we're awesome, especially, we like to hear that. Or if you think that we totally suck, that's fine. I don't care. And if you just want to insult us...
I don't want to hear about that.
If you want to insult us in general, I'll send it to Melissa because she's going to handle the complaints.
No.
However, we also kind of want to sum up this episode. But before we do that, I should give you the email for sending in your questions. And that email is askus@nearlysacred.com. And then we're going to move on to summing up the episode, kind of give a recap. So what would you say that you learned in this episode or that you thought was interesting, Melissa?
I'm very shocked to learn that Jesus took the hit for Ashira. He took the place of her.
Well,
that reminds me of that video by Bowie.
That's
Spirit rose up and moved aside. He stepped in, right?
She's referring to Black Star. Yes, that's,
I wish we could play music. We should write to David Bowie, see if we can use that.
Dear David Bowie.
If anybody knows David Bowie, let us know.
Yeah. Well, that is what that's about. And in fact, there's a whole lot more to that. Maybe we can talk about that some other episode. But in essence, he was standing in as a sacrifice because of the age of Pisces for the goddess, that is to say Venus. So.
So one thing I would like, how do you know that? What's your reference?
What do you mean?
That he stood in. I mean, where do you get that he stood in for the goddess?
Because the Old Testament was Saturn, the New Testament was Venus, is the Book of Love. The crucifix, when you look at it, is shaped like an ankh. Jesus himself said he was the Morning Star, which is Venus. There's lots of extra little secrets in here that I don't want to get into all the way, but
gotcha.
But there's.
I was just curious.
Those are the big pieces of the puzzle.
You didn't read this somewhere. This is. Your own knowledge.
Well, it's both. I mean, this is a very old story. This is also the story of Osiris and Isis. It's a very old story, and you see it time and time and time again in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So you've always got to have somebody who's willing to die and then come back and resurrect and redeem something or another. And then it's always the goddess behind the scenes who is resurrecting it. But we don't really talk about that very much because
yeah,
there's
some
uncomfortable trees.
That thing I'm putting up in the backyard is a clothesline, not a tav.
Well, it's a tav if we hang something on it. Maybe
not a tav at all.
Maybe we could find somebody to hang up on that thing.
No, not a tav. That was you were thinking anything like that.
That's right. Neither of those old geolithic monuments. I would say in this episode, I learned that learned some interesting news facts, such as CERN having a weird vortex above it, perhaps. Mm. And I remember the date of Pearl Harbor, so that's good. I feel good about that. And it was on the 7th, and the 7th is Cancer, which is...
I can't believe you forgot that. Diamond.
Well, you know.
Wow. After,
it's been a while since the war, and I can remember that my platoon, when we landed, we didn't think we were going to make it, and I saw my friend's eyeballs go by. And,
oh,
and
man. Stuff,
and then I saw... Like, at one point, I saw James Doohan, Scotty, and his middle finger went by me, and, you know, it was just pretty serious business. So, that's what I remember, and I don't know. Sometimes the screams and the gunshots still haunt me. But basically, I forgot the date, and now I remember it, so that's
okay,
good.
Okay, I'm glad. I'm glad I helped you with that.
Yeah. We learned some pretty deep metaphysical truths, like some things that are kind of off the beaten path, and we can probably get into some more of those, because a lot of the things that we're going to talk about in the future, provided that... Everyone's on board with it. Everybody likes it. Maybe even if they don't. Maybe especially if they don't. We're going to talk about some things that are very, very, very well hidden. And
sex, drugs, and spirituality.
Those things aren't really that hidden, but actually the hidden aspect of those things.
Rock and roll, but no, everything's copyrighted. We wouldn't want to put that on a podcast and promote somebody, but it's all good.
Negative.
I have friends who make music.
Nor would I want to use anyone's stuff.
Who will be guests in the future.
For the millions of dollars that I intend to make, and I would hate to defraud them of having...
No, when you make millions of dollars, they'll probably hand it to us.
I would hate for them to be defrauded of having yet another jet because I used 10 seconds of their music. Yeah. So that's neither here nor there, but yes, we'll get into some more interesting stuff. But for now, I'm Joe Bill Scherzinger with Nearly Sacred signing off.
And I'm Melissa Sims with the same.
You're not me. Sacred.
Goodbye.
What show would be complete without a reading of the credits before we sign off? Our music was brought to us by A Little Fusion by Russell Martin, Ezekiel Lasso Slipped in Piano, Fur Lees by Ivan Davidoff, Into the Caverns by Enviza Heed, and The Descent by Aylin. I believe that's got all of our musical people. We give them credit, and we're thankful for things like SoundCloud where people make things available that don't have copyright all over them. Likewise, Joe Bill Scherzinger and Melissa Sims were your hosts, and they were brought by Alchemy, our little metaphysical store, which has helped us, and by the universe. I would say by viewers like you, but I don't really want to go that far. So tune in next week, or whenever we do our next episode, and until then, remember, our email is askus@nearlysacred.com.